I appreciate folks that are doing a work that isn't always easy, amen, but that is very, very rewarding. I think that any time that we work for God, it's rewarding, amen? And I was just reading this week how every one of us, even in our regular employments, glorify God because we give Him the thanks and the praise for what He's given us to do. Scripture says that anything your hand finds to do it, right, as unto the Lord. And I believe that's how God is glorified. In anything that we do for the Lord. So with no further ado, let me introduce Peter, who is indeed being used by the Lord mightily in New York City and all throughout the world. Peter, would you come and share? God bless you. Give him a round of applause.
Amen. Give it up for Jesus. Amen. Yes, amen. As we say in New York City, Glory adios. That means thank you, Lord. That's the interpretation from English to Spanish and vice versa. Delighted to be here today. Great to be here. Thank you, Pastor John and Kim, and for allowing us to be here today. And the two ladies, where are the two ladies at again? So was it Cindy and Dee? There you are. And put both hands up, so let them know that you left with one hand, but you came back with the other. Sometimes people get a little bit nervous about inner city ministry, but we are all connected. Praise the Lord. We have some information on the back table. Our ministry, called New York School of Urban Ministry, founded in 1984 by two New York brothers, Paul and Robert Johansson, with the purpose to train up and raise up a new generation of urban warriors for the kingdom of God. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 61, not only is the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon Isaiah, but it says in verse 4, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. You know, the reason for God's empowering His anointing is so that we can take back what the devil has stolen. How many believe that today? God is able? Amen? This is the Acts Church. That's it. Book of Acts. We believe it. Amen? And we're delighted to be here. I have a word I want to share with you, but we're going to show the videotape. I understand this was a former movie theater, so we can get settled in. And this describes a little bit about our ministry. My wife and I joined the ministry 28 years ago. We're urban missionaries, and we serve on the ministry staff of NYSEM. We have about 30 staff. And since NYSEM began, we've trained over 40,000 people in hands-on ministry from Regent University, Oral Roberts University, Wheaton College, Zion Bible College, Elam College, various churches. We have the Church of God that's coming in, 150 young people being trained this summer for the cause of the kingdom. Amen. Give it up for the Lord. Amen. And certainly we're delighted if the Lord would lead you here to New York City. You know, we're about 6 hours away. 6 hours from where we sit today, there are 180 languages that are spoken. Where our ministry base is, we're 5 minutes from LaGuardia Airport. It's the third largest Greek population in the entire world. Any Greeks in the house today? That's it. Amazing what God is doing. There are more Jews in New York City than all of Israel. So we have a great challenge ahead of us, but God is able. We have spring break going on. We have about 150 people between our staff and our teams going on outreach and ministry. And we just want to introduce ourselves and see how that we can serve you here in Bedford County. My wife is from, she was born in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And we met in bridal school in Rhode Island. And my wife and I were going on 28 years as urban missionaries in New York City. And every year we train about 3,000 people that come through our ministry. They come for weekends, a week, 4 days. We build it, you will come. So there are various ministry packages for youth and outreach and evangelism, door-to-door. And we're just delighted, Pastor, for allowing us to be here today. We could dim the lights and let the Lord speak to you today to share with you a little bit about NYSUM, New York School of Urban Ministry.
As I walk the streets of New York City, I'm always struck by the incredible human need that surrounds me. Every block represents thousands of people with deep emotional, physical, and spiritual needs. Regardless of race, age, and economic status, no one seems to be immune. But every need represents an opportunity, yes, an opportunity for our God to do something miraculous. An opportunity for Him to heal a hurt, to mend a broken heart, to change someone's life for all of eternity. Meeting that need, fulfilling that opportunity, being that miracle, yes, that's the purpose, that's the calling, and that's the burden that gripped the hearts of the co-founders to establish the New York School of Urban Ministry in 1984. The NYSUM leadership believes that God's divine agency to reclaim cities are the local pastors and local churches. We are a training and resource center serving the urban church.
It became clear to me that there needed to be a focus on city ministry. The students that we had trained in the Bible colleges, when they graduated, they still had pictures of a little white church out on the side of the hill that they could minister in, not recognizing that the masses of humanity are not in the hillside. They are primarily in the urban centers.
So NYSUM is God's answer to attract young people and others back into the city for which many have fled away from.
We remain committed to God's call to raise up a new generation of urban warriors who are committed to impact the nations of the world for the cause of Jesus Christ. NYSUM is God's answer in three major areas here in New York City. First, student training. NYSUM provides specialized training for Bible schools, colleges, seminaries, Christian schools, and homeschools. We now provide a 9-month intense urban training starting in September and running through May. This gives people an opportunity to be trained in hands-on urban ministry. Second, NYSUM provides short-term mission experiences here in New York City. From one weekend to one week, groups come, they're involved in hands-on ministry, from block parties, street meetings, outreaches at the grassroots, and urban evangelism is experienced. We give out blankets and sandwiches to homeless people all across New York City. These are the outreaches that see lives of people change, both givers and receivers. Third, special seasonal outreaches here in the city of New York. Spring break, college students come from across America and they're involved in hands-on inner city ministry. In May, we celebrate women around Mother's Day and we provide extreme makeover weekends where women come in and they do a whole makeover on battered women in city shelters. In the summertime, we're launched out in the parks and the streets and the beaches. In the fall, we provide Operation Drumstick, our Thanksgiving outreach where we feed over 5,000 homeless and hurting people full turkey dinners all over the city of New York. And yes, we also provide Christmas outreaches. For 5 days before Christmas, we are involved in giving out gifts and toys and blankets and clothing to families all over the city of New York that need to know the love and the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ.
It's amazing when you go in there with the amounts of people, with the millions of people that are in the city, how many people don't know Jesus Christ or aren't saved? And the minute you talk to them, how receptive people can be.
We partnered with NYSM over the years, and NYSM has been here, and we've done wonderful work together.
They come alongside you. In difficult times, they made a difference for us. And those kind of relationships help us to go the long journey to where we are today.
It shows a way how the body of Christ can partner, and we can learn from each other and teach each other.
And the growth that takes place in them is just amazing. It's nothing but the hand of God moving on the lives of these young people, equipping them and preparing them for whatever God has in store for them.
My heart's been broken so much, man. It's like, I can't help sometimes but just cry and just to see like what people go through and how good we have it. You know what I mean? Sometimes you don't understand how good we have it until we see other people.
It was incredible, and I've never experienced anything like that. And I know I'm called to do missions, and this is just like a step from where I'm gonna go.
People ask me why we come to New York, and I always respond to them because that's where the school is. Just like Harvard has a law school, we come to New York to go to school and then go out and do practical application.
It's a great trip, and each and every one of the ministries we did, we just felt we were well trained and we became effective in a short period of time.
I encourage you to come if you're thinking about it. We provide the training, we provide the shelter, we provide the food, we provide the vehicles, we provide the means and the wherewithal to get the job done. All we need is you.
What you have just seen and heard are some of the incredible things that God is doing through NYSM's ministry. Every year, thousands of volunteers come from churches and Bible schools, Bible colleges, seminaries, and missionary organizations. They come to NYSM and they look for us to provide hands-on, practical training here on the front lines of New York City. People from every walk of life, from every denomination, from every part of the country, when they come to NYSM, they join together as one body, the body of Christ, to become His hands, His feet, His hearts, to a city that desperately needs to know the touch of Jesus Christ. I'm asking that you would prayerfully consider joining the NYSM staff in one of our short-term urban training programs. We run these programs throughout the year 24/7. To learn more about our school and these ministry opportunities, please feel free to log on to our website at www.nysm.org. Join us as we seek to reclaim this city for Christ, one life at a time.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord the praise. Amen. Amen. Well, that gives you a little bit of a glimpse of who we are and what we're about and how we can serve together. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to page 862. I know this is a ministry of Acts. You believe in the Holy Ghost, so I know that you know exactly where I'm at. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. And we're going to look into the Word today and believe the Lord. You know, when I woke up this morning, I was very, very thankful, not only because this is Sunday and the Lord's Day, and I was coming to meet some new friends and acquaintances in the body of Christ. No snow. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. You should be in New York City in the winter time. It's just a beautiful thing because there's no place to put the snow and your van or your car gets just plowed in. There it is right there. In fact, some people with a bad snowstorm, and then we had sleet and rain and freezing rain, it looks like cars have been encapsulized. You know what I mean? Encapsulized. They haven't moved them for 3 months. But thank the Lord, God has helped us, and we are here today. We got defrosted, so we're here. Let's look in the Word today. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. When you have it, say amen. Amen. That's three people. Okay, we'll move on. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Aren't you glad that the Lord is in the house today? Say amen. And straightway many were gathered together, inasmuch as there was no room to receive them, no, not such as am out the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come into the house because of the press, and that's not CNN, They uncovered the roof where he was and had broken it up, and they let down the bed of the sick of the palsy where they lay. And Jesus saw their faith. He said unto him, sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. But they were certain scribes about reasoning in their hearts. And why does this man speak blasphemies? How can he forgive but only God? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in this spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said, why reason these things in your heart? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Come on, church. We thank you, God, that you woke us up this morning. You set us upon our path. But Lord, I pray, awaken the word in our spirit today. Awaken our spirit man. Awaken Bedford County. Awaken this region. God, you have saved us. You have redeemed us. You have empowered us, not only for ourselves, but Lord, we will bring empowerment to those that need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Continue to bless Pastor John and Kim and this whole leadership team and this church, that we would be a force to be reckoned with in these last days. So raise up men and women in these last days that we will take back what the devil has stolen. We believe it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Say amen to your neighbor. Now wake up your other neighbor, say amen. Oh, praise God, praise God. I don't know if it's the anointing or caffeine or a little bit of both. Praise the Lord, it works for me. The word I want to leave you today is basically a story about a man who is, the Bible says, sick with a palsy. Say it with me, sick with a palsy. You know, when you're sick with the palsy, you can't even do the Pennsylvania polka. You can't do the foxtrot. You can't do the chicken dance. You can't even do the New York Macarena. You are down for the count. And I want to share with you today not only about the man who is sick with the palsy, but about the four that begin to do something a little different. The title of my message is this, The Uncommon Church. Say it with me, The Uncommon Church. God is not interested in a common church, a common missionary, a common pastor, a common usher or elder or deacon or young person. He's looking for some uncommon people. The word uncommon would be defined by Wikipedia or Webster or anybody else that you want to look it up. You could Google it. But the word uncommon means to be rare, to be unprecedented. Jesus said, be in the world, but what not of the world. And God is looking for some rare Christians today. Can I get a witness? Because God is not interested in just a kumbaya. He's interested, even as Mordecai said to Esther, he said, think it not strange that the Lord has brought you to the kingdom. It's not just about having church. It's about being the church of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that today? He has brought us to the kingdom. This whole Bedford County, even as Pastor and I and Paul were praying, I just feel and sense within my spirit, even a quickening, that God wants to awaken this whole region to take back what the enemy has stolen. God has saved us. He's redeemed us. There are people in New York City that are one paycheck away from becoming homeless. There are people that are in New York City that have no homes. They have to live in a city shelter. How God has blessed this whole region for what purpose? And that is to equip the body of Christ and to begin to reclaim all the areas that the enemy has ravished and stolen. And so the Bible tells us about this man who was sick with the palsy. He might have been able to sing, but he couldn't even get out of the gate. And people might be walking by him and they might see this man and say, well, the reason why, Pastor, he is sick with a palsy is because he squandered his money. He didn't live right. He didn't eat right. All these things might be and might have some value, but guess what, church? He's still sick with the palsy. In fact, the man who was sick with the palsy, it doesn't mention, is it Fred or Peter or John or Harry? I believe the word sick with the palsy is not simply a man, but it could be a community. It could be a culture. It could be families. It could be a region. It could be a county. And there are counties, and I was preaching up in Detroit, Michigan last Sunday, and even encouraging them. There's been a sickness of a palsy. Even in Detroit, they have said that they've actually gone bankrupt. Here is the epicenter of manufacturing years and years ago, and now has become paralytic, unable to fulfill its purpose. Do you know every family has a purpose? Every town has a purpose. Every church has a purpose. You and I have a purpose. And what is that purpose? That's what I want to share with you today. The uncommon church. Oh, God wants to raise up some uncommon people, some rare people, some unprecedented people that will begin to glorify God in three dimensions. I want to leave it with you today. And so here is a man who is what? Sick with the palsy. He is incapable of fulfilling his destiny on his own. Did you know that even the Lone Ranger had Tonto? People that are 50 and older understand who that is. That the younger generation, you Google the Lone Ranger. And the Bible tells us three things. Number one, to be an uncommon church, he's looking for people to have uncommon purpose. Uncommon purpose. Uncommon purpose is they could have walked by this man like the priest and the Levite, but they made a choice. They decided to do something. And what is the uncommon purpose? The uncommon purpose is they didn't do a Jericho march around the man. They didn't cast out demons. They didn't do a religious thing. But the Bible tells us that they took the man, and the Bible says what? To bring him to Jesus. Oh, isn't it great? Jesus said, if I and I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I'm an ordained minister. I've gone to Bible school. I haven't gone to seminary yet. But I must tell you, the more you focus on yourself, the less God can be glorified. But if you give him all the praise and all the glory, he will glorify his name in ordinary individuals to do extraordinary uncommon things. Oh, can I get a witness here today? I got Dee and Cindy here. There's my amen section. I paid them to come here this morning. I gave them my cue cards if nobody else will say anything. Purpose. Just say it with me. Uncommon purpose. What is the uncommon purpose? It says in Acts 26:16, Saul of Tarsus is there. And it says in Acts 9 of how God saved Saul of Tarsus and became Paul. And God changed his life. God changed his name. And it says in Acts 26:16, he's recounting to King Agrippa of all that God did in his life. And this is what he says in Acts 26:16.
because he reminds King Agrippa, he says, "The Lord appeared unto me for what this purpose?" He said, "Rise and stand upon your feet." I don't know what anybody has said to you. This is not in my notes. Maybe your mother put you down, the principal, your school teacher, your math teacher. Hopefully there's no math teachers in the house. Maybe some neighbor or some friend. I'm here to tell you today, God wants to raise you up, and Bubba, you've got to shake off that dust, that junk that the enemy has put upon your life, and be the man and the woman of God he's called you to be. It's interesting that this man, these four were not preachers, they were not missionaries, they were not evangelists, they weren't, there are people today, well, you got to be flowing in the fivefold gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the fivefold gifts of the Spirit, but let me tell you, he wants to take you and I just the way we are, and to be used for the glory of Almighty God. Can I get a witness? It was a businessman about 150 years ago. His name is Jeremiah Lamphere. You can Google him. I'm into Google these days. It cuts down on all the books you have to carry, right, Pastor? And here is a businessman, and he had a burden down on Fulton Street in New York City 150 years ago. Not a preacher, not a pastor, not a traveling itinerant minister, a businessman with a burden, with a purpose, an uncommon purpose. Wine, women, and song were running rampant. It was a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah 150 years ago. And he put in a newspaper, he said there would be a prayer meeting down on Fulton Street. He said four people showed up 2 hours late. He said things really haven't changed. And so God began to move by the Holy Spirit, and they decided they're going to pray the next week. And then eight people showed up. The next week, 50 people showed up. The next week, 100 people showed up. It all came to happen that thousands and thousands of people started coming out. And then revival broke out. Slavery began to be broken. It's so powerful that the Bowery Mission and other mission and soup kitchens and outreach centers and Salvation Army all stemmed out of this one man with an uncommon purpose, because he wanted to be the uncommon church and he wanted to make a difference. This man, God used him in such a way that today, even on Fulton Street, 150 years ago, people are beginning to gather here and there for prayer and believing God. What does it say in 1 John 3:8? Jesus says, "But for this purpose, he came to destroy the works of the devil." When you understand your purpose, we understand what God has called us to do. Say, well, you know, when I don't know, Brother Peter, you know, I'm just a little fearful because, you know, if I go to New York and I burp in their face, what are they going to do? Listen, New Yorkers are pretty tough people. You know, burping in their face is nothing. We say just living in New York City and trying to get a parking space is spiritual warfare. Purpose. And so the Bible tells us not only is it, number one, uncommon purpose, but then they're carrying this man. You know, maybe your ministry is carrying a person. I appreciate Pastor John. He's helping to carry the burden of our family. Didn't even know this, but he's my brother from another mother. Because as we began to talk, and he's been able to share and minister to my father-in-law, who was the visiting pastor at every Everett Assembly of God for several years, and his body began to deteriorate, and he's in Donahue Manor, and how God has helped us together, and how that church and pastor here. What are we doing? People that are what? Sick with the palsy. They don't have it together. Well, Brother Peter, I don't know about this person in the town of Bedford or Everett or in this region. You know, look at this person. They've got dysfunction. You know what? All of us are a little bit dysfunctional. That's why we need a Jesus. That's why we need him every day. And so what were these men doing? In fact, the men are not even named. Why? Is because I think if they were named, there might be monuments built to these men. And so, not only is it uncommon purpose, but when they get there, they're carrying this man. Do you know that burdens cannot be carried by one person? It's too big. New York City is too big. We got some mega churches. If I name them, you would know them. But let me tell you, there are over 10 million people in New York City, 100,000 homeless people. How is one church? How is one ministry? But God has called us as what? The body of Christ to come together. My wife and I could not do what we're doing over the past 28 years without men and women coming alongside of us and helping and praying and standing and supporting us, carrying cities and towns and people to the Lord. But then they get there, and guess what? The Bible says that they couldn't get to Jesus. Because of what? Because of the crowd. The people were outside the door. It was standing room only. Now, if we're Pentecostal people or charismatic people, and the first roadblock, we might say, oh, that's God. That's God. He doesn't want us to go any further. And we just drop the man on his head. Number two, I call it uncommon passion. How do I know it's uncommon passion? Because they saw that the first roadblock now becomes a stepping stone to go to a higher dimension in God. If you listen to the voice, hear me, church, if you listen to the voices of people, you will never get to your breakthrough. If you listen to the voices of the crowd, you'll never get to Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, how long you been in this building now? 13 years? Why don't you pack it up? What are you doing here? Why don't you pack up New York City? All voices of people. But guess what? Let those voices become stepping stones to bring you and I to a higher dimension. It's interesting that Jesus says in verse 5, he says, I didn't see your methodology. That didn't really turn me on. I didn't see, you know, there are churches today, you have to have a choir, you have to have lights, you have to have charisma, you have to have a fog. We used to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, but now we have to import it, and we have to bring fog machines in because we just can't wait on God. And he didn't say, I liked your pole, I liked your mat. He says, I see your faith. Oh, hallelujah. Go back to the good old prophet Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God is not interested. He's not looking at your call, your anointing, your character, your gifting. He's looking at what God has placed within your heart, and that is faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. He didn't look at methodology, and oftentimes the church was looking at methods, but God is interested in your life. Can I get a witness? Passion. It's a story I read here in the Daily News. I have to close in a few minutes here because the time is on the half hour. A Daily News, I picked up the newspaper, and here on the front lines, it shows two little children, 3 and 5. It says, dumped. Two little beautiful girls are left on the Brooklyn sidewalk by their mother. Drove off in an SUV. You say, what woman would drop her two children off in the dead of winter, leaving them with one diaper on each of them and one coat on each of them? You see, church, when you're sick with the palsy, you're not functioning on 8 cylinders or 6 cylinders. You have 0 cylinders. And so God is looking for a people that are a little bit uncommon, a little bit out of the box. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. He says, the love of Christ constrains me. I had a pastor out in Pittsburgh, and he said, Brother Peter, this was about, we were there about 15 or 18 years, and he says, don't you ever get tired of being in the concrete jungle, you know, and the grit and the dirt? And I said, you know what? I said, for the inconvenience that I have to put up with, the thing that keeps me going is I see men and women incarcerated in sin and in poverty. And I said, God, by the grace of God, you're going to help me go to another dimension. It's called uncommon passion. And I want to challenge you today. God will even challenge you to the level of passion. How do I know I have passion? Because God will allow inconvenience to come into your life. We say, oh, God, I'm so passionate for you. We're at the altar, hallelujah, on Sunday. And then you get a phone call at 2 a.m. Could you come and help me because my battery sort of died in the middle of the snow? Well, let me see. Let me pray about that, my brother. Let me pray about that. And here you and I can be the very link to bring people from death to life, from darkness to everlasting life. Can I get a witness? I remember a man by the name of Vinny, not my cousin Vinny, but Vinny, from the Lower East Side of Manhattan, had our food truck and preaching and out there, and he would come and get food, and we had a whole crowd of 100 people or so, and he was running amok. We knew it. He was just going through the motions, getting the food, getting the soup, going through the motions. And one day he came. He was all messed up. His nose was bloody. He had this old pea coat on, literally, church. He had a pea coat on. And we ministered to him. He's crying. Jack Daniels was there, very much alive in his breath. We just praying in Jesus' name and just calling out on God. And then we hadn't seen him for about 4 months. And then I had some students from Elam Bible College with me out in the springtime. We went down to the Bowery to work with them again. And as I'm pulling up to the mission, I look out, and there from the doors is my man Vinny, with a haircut, all clean shaven, clean clothes, clean shoes, everything. He said, Pastor, thanks for not giving up on me, because everybody had said God could do nothing with a no good rotten sinner on his way to hell. But you showed me the way, the truth, and the life. I said, Vinny, Jesus loves you, has a plan for your life. He continued to get involved in the mission. He got in the mission. He became a staff chaplain. He went back into the Lower East Side of Manhattan, down on Houston and Allen Street, in a place called Tompkins Square Park, where they had in this band shell about 100 homeless people. And through one life that was touched and rescued, he was able to rescue over 50 of his friends by the time he was in the Bowery mission. And God saved them and redeemed them. And then he met a woman at the mission, and he married her. And then years ago, he got sick, and even at his funeral at the Bowery Mission, people came to know Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in the house that say, God, I want that uncommon passion, that I don't care what roadblock is there, I'm going to use every roadblock as a stepping stone to go to a new dimension in God's purposes? Can I get a witness? The Bible says that they couldn't get to Jesus because there was the roof. You couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd, and they had to go up to the roof and begin to remove the layers. You know, there are people that don't come to Jesus because layers of hurts. And you talk to some people, and sometimes it's even the church that has caused that layer. They can't get to the Lord. There's so much hurt and pain. We were out ministering on Park Avenue one night with a team from Canada. I was there with leading the team, and behind me was plate glass, Mercedes-Benz dealer behind us, and there was more money in that showroom than I think all of the New York City budget. And so I was talking with this lady, and this woman says, yes. She says, tell me about your walk with God. I said, well, she says, you know, I'm just trying to make it. I don't have any money. We have bottles and cans in New York City, and you get 5 cents on each bottle and can. Go to the grocery store called a Redemption Center, put it in, get a nickel. And so she said, I would do that, and get a hamburger, get some tuna fish or whatever. Imagine living your life like that. And she said, I would go to church once in a while. And she says, in fact, that church right across the street. She points to it. I said, but I don't go there anymore. I said, what happened? She said, well, you know, I would take the money from the bottles and cans and get food, and then I'd have an extra change, and I would put it in the offering basket. But then there was a time I went to the church, and I had no money to put in the offering basket. And an usher came by and said, lady, if you don't have any money to put in this offering basket, then don't bother come back to this church. When we look at people, we sometimes size people up and say, what is their problem? And God says, no, what is your problem? You see through a glass darkly, there are layers and hurts and reasons why people can't get to Jesus. That's where you and I come in, hallelujah, the uncommon church. What is the layer? What is impeding people from coming to the Lord, whether it's a church, a youth meeting, a revival meeting, a special service, getting engaged in God's purposes for their life? Because there are layers and layers and layers. And he calls us to what? Number two is uncommon what? Passion. Say it with me. Uncommon passion. I read the story. It says in 1947, it was Chuck Yeager who stepped into the cockpit of experimental rocket plane Bell X-1 to break the sound barrier over the Mojave Desert. Other pilots tried but aborted their mission because when they got into the cockpit, as they're ready to break the sound barrier, the wings began to rattle and the cockpit began to shake, and everybody was fearful of losing their life and they would abort the mission, but not this uncommon man by the name of Chuck Yeager. He said, if I don't break the sound barrier now, he said, the Japanese and all our adversaries are going to have such an edge upon America, and the safety and welfare of America was at being compromised. He was willing to risk it all. I say to you today that God has called you and I to re-enlist. Maybe you've decided, well, you know, it's too much. Grandparents raising their grandchildren today. It's unprecedented. Why? It's because there are challenges within the family. God has called you. Do not get out of the cockpit in the name of Jesus. You're in the school system. Do not get out of that cockpit. You're in the local union. Do not get out of the cockpit. Stay in that cockpit because you and I could be the one that God would use to break the barriers and the chains and the layers that have been placed there over the years. Can I get a witness here today? Number three is uncommon power. I read this to you. It says, Mother Teresa said, it's not so much as what we do that matters, but how much love you put into it. Now think about this. It said, two-thirds of the word career is called care, C-A-R-E. Very interesting. The English philanthropist John Ruskin once said, when love and skill come together, expect a masterpiece. God wants to do some masterpieces in our lives and in our churches and in our ministries. As we close, the last P I leave with you, the uncommon church. I don't know about you. I want to be an uncommon missionary. I want to be an uncommon Christian, uncommon mom, uncommon dad, uncommon leader in the house of God, uncommon even in the community. These men were uncommon. All the crowds had gone to Jesus, but somehow this man was sort of left to the side, kicked to the curb. We don't know how. He couldn't get to Jesus. Sometimes we look at people and, well, why don't they come to church? Why don't they? They're sick with the palsy. Uncommon purpose. These men bring them to Jesus. Uncommon passion. Still couldn't get to Jesus. There were layers and roadblocks and to break them up. God has blessed us now. We were praying and God has given us a food truck. That's a whole testimony right there. We don't have time to go into it. But just this week in Spring Break Ministry, it's been out almost 10 times. We have fed approximately 1,000 people food and blankets and sandwiches and clothing and toiletry packets from all the way to Hunts Point up in the South Bronx, all the way to Coney Island, all the way into Midtown, downtown, working with pastors and churches and Hispanic people. We were up in Yankee Stadium working with a bishop, Bishop Bonanno, who represents as a Pentecostal leader over about 12 or 15 different Pentecostal networks working together. It's too big for us, but not too big for all of us working together. Can I get a witness? Last one is uncommon power. The Bible tells us that they took the man. They didn't drop him, but they lowered him. There's still a divine connection. That's you and me. And they lowered him into the very presence of God. I am so thankful my name is not Jesus Cristo. There's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. But what? Through the name of Jesus. It's interesting that the Bible tells us in verse 6 and verse 8 that there were religious people that were there, and the Bible says they're reasoning in their minds. Reasoning. I don't know about you. God has given us a mind, and he says, use it for the glory of God. But there are things that God is going to do. He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. God will do what no other power can do. For the word says in Zechariah, it's not by might nor by what power, but by my what spirit, saith the Lord. God just blessed us. We ran out of blankets, and we contacted the people at the Defense Department, and they just blessed us with 5,000 blankets. They heard our ministry. They said, you're doing all this week. We could give you 20,000 blankets. I said, Lord, hold it back. We're going to have it on the roof. I mean, it's just amazing all that God has done. Today, as we pray, we need some uncommon power. Uncommon power. At times, we're so consumed with being so politically correct. God says, just be biblically correct. Let me write the scripts. Last story I leave with you today as we pray. Kim, could you come to the piano, please? Or just hold steady. There's a preacher down the Lower East Side of Manhattan, street preaching, and a bunch of people gathered together. And everybody left except for this one homeless man standing in front of this little makeshift platform. And the street preacher said, yes, can I help you? He says, I want your Bible, preacher. Bible. He's like, whoa, praise God, the man wants my Bible. So he's just ready to give it to the man, and the preacher says, oh, by the way, why do you want my Bible? So he says, well, I like the pages of the Bible. He said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, it's real thin, and he said, I could use it for my smokes. And so the preacher's like, oh, my Lord, I've desecrated the word of God. What do I do? The Lord says, you know what? My power is still able. Give him the word. But tell him this, that he has to read front and back of every page before he smokes it. Come on, church. And so he says, okay, you got a deal. So they left each other, and the preacher was still, Lord, I hope I did the right thing. It's the holy word of God. So time goes by, and a year later, about the same time, there's a crowd, people get ministered to, come to the Lord, everybody disbands, except for this time, there's a man in a full suit, shirt and tie, dressed to the nines. It says, excuse me, preacher. Yes. Remember me? No, I don't remember you at all. In fact, I've never seen you before. He didn't know if they were going to shut him down or give him a love offering for the ministry or what. He says, no, remember me a year ago. I was that homeless person on the street. And he says, oh, my Lord, what happened to you? He said, well, I took the Bible, and I did exactly what you told me to do. He said, I smoked Matthew. I smoked Mark. I smoked Luke. But when I got to John, John smoked me. Come on, put your hands together. Give him praise. Would you stand to your feet today? Oh, Jesus. Bow with me in prayer as Kim just plays softly. So we just turn it over to Pastor in a moment. The uncommon church. The uncommon church. You don't have to be in New York City to be uncommon. You could be at the Weiss Market. You could be at Walmart. You could be at the roller rink. Oh. You could be at the amusement center in Altoona. Horseshoe Curve. Hanging out at the Tasty Freeze. The Igloo. Mile Level. Today, maybe you want to be like that Chuck Yeager who was willing to get into the cockpit. Everyone has a cockpit. God is looking for you and I. We're the key, we're the link. He said, I give you, Peter, the keys to the kingdom. Maybe you laid those keys down or you said, Lord, you can't use me. Oh, yes. Because the power is in the keys that I give to you. Maybe you just want to lift your hand today and say, Pastor Peter, I want to be that uncommon Christian. I want to be uncommon in my purpose. Doesn't matter what people say. I want to have some uncommon passion. Maybe your passion has become depleted or you become maybe disenchanted with Christianity. Get back in love with Jesus and let God take care of his church. Say, God, I want to see some uncommon power release. The man was lowered. It says in verse 12, the people said, now that the man has been healed, the Bible says, God has visited. We've never seen it like this before. May it be said here in Acts Church in Bedford County. We've got a lot of churches, but God says that I've called you to be uncommon, unprecedented, rare, like never before. Say, God, today, allow the uncommon power of the Holy Spirit to work through my life. That people that were crippled, couldn't speak, couldn't talk, couldn't walk, couldn't care for themselves. Today, God, you want to do something. Just lift your hand if that's you and with me today. Say, God, I want to be a little uncommon, uncommon, uncommon. I'm going to invite you right now as Kim leads us and some of the others, if they want to come to the platform and help us with worship, but I'm going to ask you to step right out right now. Let's be a little bit uncommon. We may have to put our watches aside and our iPads and our iTunes and Twit and Wit and everything else, and just for a few minutes say, I want to be uncommon today. Not just today, Lord, but let this be the new beginning in my life. That God, I'm going to be uncommon in my prayer life, uncommon in my walk, uncommon in my relationships, uncommon, unprecedented, rare, that people see something in us. They see something different about us because we have chosen to come to the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church, just lift your voice right now. Just open up your mouth. Make it be your prayer to God. Oh, God, make me uncommon. I yield myself to you. I yield my members to you. I yield my finances. I yield my car. It's your car, Lord. It's your home. It's your job. I want to be your mouthpiece. Lord, I am here, but it's your body. You purchased my salvation. And so, God, today, now I am indebted to you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, reach out to him as Pastor comes.